personal relationship with him. What makes that possible? Jesus, he has been placed at his Father's right hand. He sent his Holy Spirit. He could only do that if he was alive. He sent his Holy Spirit that we might, that he might make real to us his presence. And you and I, through this relationship, we walk with him, or we have the opportunity to walk with him day by day. And we should never be stagnant. Paul writes, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. There's just so many things here in this passage that we could look at and pick apart, and we're not going to do this morning. But he says, as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Now, let me point out something cool in this verse here. The received, word received there is in the past tense. It's something that has happened. I hope that for every single one of us this morning, that there's been a point in your life where you've received Jesus Christ, where you have received who he is, the eternal life that he offers to all mankind. But then he says, continue to live your lives in him. The word here that is used in the original language is the word peripateo. But it's in the present tense. It is a command. Paul says, listen, there's been a time where you've received him in salvation. I think it's bigger than that, but he says then, continue to walk in him, and it is in the present tense. In other words, the expectation is that the walk would continue. God never wants me to come to a point in my Christian life where I'm just done, I put it in neutral, and I just kind of coast. He wants me to continue to grow in Jesus Christ. Notice in verse number 7, and there's three words I'd like to focus in on here really quick. And the words are rooted, built up, firm, or established in your faith. So how is it that we grow as Christians? How is it that we continue in the faith? He says, rooted and built up in him and firm in your faith. Now, I don't want this to be like an extensive Greek lesson here this morning, but let me just point out something about every single one of those words. Did you know that every one of those words are in the passive voice? Here's what that means. I could talk about a building, and I could say, I built that building, which I've never done that before. I built a shed before. I don't think you'd want to see it. Or we could say, that building was built. Do we get the difference? I could say, I built that building. I'm the one that did the action to build that building. Or we could say, that building was built. It received the action. It's something that happened to that building. Someone came along and built it. That building was built. In each one of these words, rooted, built up, and firm, they are all in the passive voice. And here's what that tells us. Just as you've received Jesus Christ as Lord, he says, continue your lives in him. And guess what he's going to do with you? This is something that he does with you. Did you know that Christian, your growth as a Christian is not a do-it-yourself project? As you walk with Jesus, he grows you. And here's what happens. He says, you are rooted. This is something that's happened to you. He says, you are being built up and becoming firm in your faith, just as you have, as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And we'll look at that here in just a few minutes, Lord willing. But here's the main thing that I'd like for us to see. Christianity is not a do-it-yourself project. And really, our growth as individuals, it really comes through worship. And coming to Jesus, just like we did at salvation, empty-handed. Having nothing to offer him, we come to God and we say, God, I have nothing. When we come to God in personal growth, we do not say, God, look at all the things that I've done for you. We say, God, would you make me? Would you grow me? Would you make me into the person that you desire me to be? Could you turn me down in the monitors up here just a little bit on these? Or there's some kind of a ring. The story is told of a man who died who was extremely wealthy. His will was filled with art pieces, various expensive art pieces. This man had a son who died before him, a son that he loved. And this son would have been his only heir. Soon after the death of the wealthy man, there was a public auction that was held that included the valuable art pieces. People came from all over the world because of those works of art. Over 1,000 people evidently gathered to participate in the auction. The auctioneer began the auction by offering up for sale a portrait painted by the deceased son. It was a rather plain painting, not at all like the other expensive art pieces. The floor opened for bids, but there weren't any. After what seemed like a long silence, a little old man walked down the aisle as he neared the front of the room. The auctioneer recognized him. He had been the servant of the wealthy man. He meagerly and almost shamefully offered a couple dollars from his pocket for the child-drawn portrait. The auctioneer hit his gavel and said, "Sold. Sold." The many people in the room shifted with excitement, preparing for the main part of the selling to begin, but much to their surprise and frustration, the auctioneer hit the gavel again and said, "Auction over." The room filled with loud chatter and confusion, wondering at the early close of the auction. The auctioneer went on to explain, "In the will of the master, the instructions specifically said to offer for sale the painting drawn by the son first, and that whoever gets the painting of his son gets the whole art collection." The master had decided well in advance that whoever loved his son and accepted him could not only have his son's work, but all the other benefits that belonged to the father. I'm not sure if that's a true story. I'd like to think that it is. But when Paul writes to the church at Colossae, he tells them of all the riches that are available in Christ. And the Colossian church, they had received those riches. Life will never be the same for the Colossians. They had received Jesus Christ and all of the riches that came with him. And yet to continue standing strong in Christ, to continue to enjoy those riches, the church would have to continue in Jesus Christ to receive him, as it were, and to walk with him as they did in the beginning. In other words, the Apostle Paul tells the church, the same way that you started in Jesus Christ, coming to him empty-handed, to grow in Jesus Christ, you must continue to do the same. It's interesting, the word that's used here for received here in our text, the apostle writes in verse number 6, he says, "Therefore, just as you have received Jesus Christ as Lord," he says, continue your walk in him. The word received is the same word that was used by the Jews when they spoke about the receiving of traditions. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish people, you know that they loved traditions. And of course, Paul, later in this passage, he talks about the traditions of men and how in that they are in direct opposition to Jesus Christ. And he uses the same word there as well. And what we find here, sorry, that must have been me. Sorry. Here we go again. Okay, I think we're good. But when he uses the word, when the Jews use the word for traditions that we receive, when Paul speaks about the traditions of men, he uses a form of the same word. And yet the Bible tells us to receive, as you have received the person of Jesus Christ, continue to walk with him. And I find it interesting because instead of receiving dead traditions and dead philosophies, God wants us to literally receive a person, Jesus Christ. And the way that we received him at salvation, he wants us to continue that pursuit, receiving of Jesus Christ in our spiritual growth. Again, the difference here is that of receiving a person who is alive, someone who is living, versus dead traditions and philosophies. I like the way that Peter O'Brien writes it. He said, Christ Jesus is a more than adequate safeguard against the empty traditions of men. You know, the fact of the matter is that when you have tasted and seen that Jesus Christ is good, and when you are receiving him and walking with him day by day, there is nothing in this world that you can find that is more satisfying than Jesus Christ himself. And so the apostle writes, he says, as you have received him, so walk with him. Paul writes here in the imperative, he says, walk with Jesus Christ in the same way that you began with him when your walk with Jesus Christ began at salvation. You say, well, wait a second, how is it that they received him? Well, how is it that anyone receives Jesus Christ at salvation? We come to him by faith as the all-sufficient Lord of the universe. We come empty-handed with nothing to give, only knowing that we can only receive from this all-sufficient one. Paul says, the way you continue growing as a Christian is the same way you came to Christ in the beginning. He says, listen, come empty-handed, but come. The all-sufficient Savior of the universe, he will do his work in you. And let me give you probably in the past year or so, it's become one of my favorite quotes. It's by J.D. Greer. I've told it to you in the past, but let me just we'll throw it up here on the screen for you. I think it's in your notes as well. How is it that we grow as Christians? Notice the statement here. New life started in you, started with a look. And notice this. It grows in you through a sustained look. Can I tell you the way that you continue your growth as a Christian is the same way that you came to Jesus Christ in the first place? As we've said, some people envision the Christian life as coming to Jesus Christ, okay, receiving salvation, and then I come over here and I start growing as a Christian, and it's kind of a do-it-yourself project. I come to the Word of God, and it's almost like I treat it like some kind of a spiritual Pinterest. I come to the Word of God to get ideas, okay, this is how I'm supposed to live, and that's how I'm supposed to live, and yet it's almost like we are doing it ourselves without gazing upon Jesus Christ and learning of him. Again, it's almost like it's more of a do-it-yourself project. What we're really talking about here is worship. Notice here what Paul writes to the Corinthian church. He says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And notice what he says here. Are changed in the same image from glory to glory, from one degree of glory to another, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Say, Pastor Mike, how is it that we're supposed to continue growing as Christians? Well, when you came to Jesus Christ, you came with nothing in your hands. Jesus, would you please give me your salvation? Can I tell you the way that we continue to grow as Christians is by coming face to face with Jesus day by day? And as we gaze upon his face, as we gaze upon him, we become more and more like him, like who he is. Paul says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Notice with me, number one, my growth as a Christian is anchored in my continual worship of Jesus Christ. My growth as a Christian is anchored in my continual worship of Jesus Christ. You say, wait a second, Pastor Mike. When we come to the Word of God, I mean, we find commands in it and expectations for me as a Christian. And yet, can I just point out to you that no matter whether you're reading in the New Testament or the Old Testament, you will find Jesus Christ everywhere. And what you find essentially is his character coming through. So even those commands that I find in the Word of God, they all direct me to the person of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, it is possible that every day as I come to the Word of God, as I come to God's Word, as I come to God in prayer, that it potentially can become its own, if I could use the phrase, a worship service. If you come to the Word of God and it's simply a textbook to you, and all you find is maybe stories and commands and all of these things, let me tell you something. It can be so much more than that. At salvation, I come empty-handed. I say, God, I have nothing to offer. Please, the all-sufficient one, would you give me of your salvation? Paul says that same way that you started. He says, continue in that, coming to Jesus, meeting with him face-to-face in his word. Do you know that this is possible for every single one of us in here? How is it that I grow as a Christian? My growth as a Christian is anchored in my continual worship of Jesus Christ, coming face to face with him, spending time with him daily. The story is told. In fact, it's a story written by Nathaniel Hawthorne. It's based on a landmark that used to be in New Hampshire. How many of us have heard of the Old Man of the Mountain? Okay, a few here. Also called the Great Stone Face, Nathaniel Hawthorne writes a fictitious story based on this particular feature in this mountain under this cliff. It was there for, you know, however long. And in 2003, this rock formation that was under this cliff actually fell, and it's not there anymore. But it's actually, we've got a picture of it. Why don't you go and throw that up there real quick, if you have it. The Great Stone Face. Does everyone see it? Hopefully. And most of the features below the cliff have fallen in 2003. But this is how it looked before all that fell. Nathaniel Hawthorne writes this story based on this particular landmark. And he speaks about a boy named Ernest who lived in a village where this particular landmark was. They called it the Great Stone Face. The people had a legend that someday someone would come to the village who would bear the image of the Great Stone Face. He would be a very wise and kind person, very noble. He would do wonderful things for the village and be a great blessing. The legend filled the heart and mind of this young boy, Ernest. During his lifetime, he would gaze at the Great Stone Face at every opportunity. And he would dream of the time someone looking like the Great Stone Face would visit the village. At various times, it seemed like this prophecy had been fulfilled. Various people coming and visiting the village, and yet every single one of them fell short. By this time, Ernest was an old man. He also happened to be the town preacher. He was greatly loved by all, and one day when Ernest was speaking, someone took a look at him and a look at the Great Stone Face in the distance. And they cried, "Behold, behold, earnest is himself the likeness of the great stone face." Can I just tell you, the more and more you gaze upon the person of Jesus Christ, the more you will become like him. That really is what meditation is all about. We come to the Word of God, we might pick a passage, meditate on that passage throughout the day, and it reveals to us the person of Jesus Christ, changes us from the inside out. Paul says the way to grow in your Christian life is the same way that you came to Christ in the beginning. You come to him face to face, empty-handed, as the all-sufficient one, and you gaze upon him, and you worship him, and you spend time in his presence. Can I just tell you this morning, if there's nothing else that you get from this message, can I encourage you to begin 2021 with a resolve in your heart to spend regular times, daily times with God, face to face, simply worshiping him, finding him in the pages of his word. And I guarantee you, you will never be the same. And let me just say one more thing here. I would say that there are probably many Christians who may even be frustrated at the little that they know about the Bible. Can I just encourage you, do not allow that to keep you from spending time in the Word of God, finding Jesus day by day. Do you know that it doesn't matter? We could pool all of the knowledge here in this room, pool it all together, and we have just scratched the surface about what could be known about the Bible. Some of my favorite commentary series, Bible study series, are written by various authors, and these particular authors might only focus on one or two, maybe three books of the Bible. And I'm talking about Bible teachers, students of the Word, who focus in and just pull out some amazing riches from those books. They only focus in their writing on a few books of the Bible. It doesn't matter who it is here in this room. There's not one of us that just has the Bible down as much as we can. And so you might be sitting here this morning, you're like, "Man, I really just don't know the Bible." Join the club. Don't let that keep you from getting in the Word of God and spending time worshiping your Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice this morning, my growth as a Christian is anchored in my continual worship of Jesus Christ. The Colossians were rooted in Christ. Upon their salvation, they tapped into Jesus Christ, if we could say it that way. He became their source of life, and there was nothing that could change that. The Bible uses the word rooted. I like this word here. It is in the perfect tense, indicating that there's a point in which it starts where you and I called upon Jesus Christ. We were rooted in Jesus Christ, and yet it endures. And the Bible tells us, continuing on here, that we are also built up in him. That's what the Bible tells us in verse number 7, rooted and built in him. And I love the way that that Paul mixes the metaphors here. He mixes two metaphors, one of agriculture, rooted, and then another word construction. And they both form this beautiful holistic concept. And really it speaks about our rootedness, our growth downward, and our growth upward as Christians. Do you know that God's intent for us, it includes an ongoing downward growth in him and an upward growth for him? In other words, God wants us to be more and more rooted in Jesus Christ and then bear fruit for him on the outside. It gives this holistic concept. I am told, and I'm not much of a plant person. If you were to give me a plant that needed to be cared for, and it at any time came onto my property, if it needs to be cared for, it's already gotten its death sentence. I'll just tell you that. And maybe you're the same way. I don't know. So I'm not really much into plants, but here's what I've been told. A general rule with trees is that the visible spread of its branches is roughly equivalent to the spread of its roots. John Phillips points this out, that the mighty oak with its great branches spreading in all directions has a root system that corresponds to its branches. And so as the branches reach higher and higher and farther, so does the root system. I wonder if Paul, as he was writing this passage here, if he thought at all about Psalm 1. Notice here this passage. Psalm 1, the Bible tells us of the man who meditates on God's commands day and night. He is like a tree planted by flowing streams. It yields its fruit at proper time, and its leaves never fall off. Like I said, I'm not much of a plant person. If you were to come to my house, you would probably see various plants. We've got rose bushes that were planted at various times. If I were to ever come across a rose bush at my house that was dying, I might have an idea like this. I might say, okay, this plant is dying. I really don't know what to do here. And so I decide to go to the store to get some long stem roses, and I decide to zip tie them to that rose bush. Listen, I don't know much about plants, but I know that that's not going to work. And yet, can I tell you, as Christians, that there are some Christians that is their approach on spiritual growth. Spiritual growth has become a do-it-yourself project. Things that I do for God. I don't come to him in humility. I do them for him. And yet, what was the way that Jesus said that we grow? Jesus said, I am the vine. He says, you are the branches. How is it that we grow in Jesus Christ? By spending time with him. Face to face as he grows us into the people that God wants us to be. Notice here our second point. My growth in Christ is to be both downward, think roots, and upward, think fruit. As I spend time with Jesus Christ in worship, he develops my rootedness, if I could say it that way, in him, and my fruit in him as well. Just like a tree that is planted by flowing streams. You know, as we walk with Jesus Christ and spend time with him, we become in the fullest sense the people that God has made us to be. You want to know how to develop fully as a person into the full and vibrant person that God has created you to be? Spend time with Jesus. Spend time walking with him. Spend time face to face with him. I like the way that John Phillips illustrates this. He says, the unsaved think that Christianity stunts growth. How many Christians think that, you think? They think that it is for small people, not for educated, sophisticated people on their way up on the cutting edge of scientific thought. Christians, they believe, think only in terms of a flat earth, or more popular today, of a young earth. The Christian faith is for people truly on the way up, all the way up. God has already seated us in the heavenlies. He intends us to reign with Christ far, far above this little world below. How is it that I develop into the full person that God wants me to be? Well, it's not by having a new experience. It's not by adding various pagan beliefs and traditions to my life, which is what the Gnostics taught. No, it is getting a deeper experience in Jesus Christ. The same way that I began, coming to him day by day, face to face, in awe and reverence of who he is, becoming more and more like him as I walk with him. Let me just ask you a question here this morning. Where is Jesus Christ in your Christianity? In your personal spiritual growth. I wonder how many Christians have a Christianity and a spiritual growth, quote unquote, that is devoid of Jesus Christ himself. Do you spend time with him day by day, seeking his face out through his word, through fellowship? According to John Phillips, on a mountain in California, I hadn't heard of this before, maybe some of you have, grows a gnarled and weather-beaten bristlecone pine. It's known as Methuselah. How many of us have heard of this tree, Methuselah? Okay, you can look it up. I should have brought a picture of it with me. And it's estimated to be well over 4,000 years old. It's pretty cool because when David was writing his Psalms, Methuselah had been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. When Abraham was born in Ur of the Chaldees, old Methuselah was already a veteran, hardy plant on earth. And if it's been dated correctly, it basically goes back to the time of the flood itself. Do you think that maybe no matter how old you and I get, do you think that God intends us to grow day by day by day, no matter how long we've been saved? No matter how long we've been walking with him? I hope that you're here this morning, whether you've been saved for 5 months, 5 years, 50 years. Can I encourage you to continue growing in him? Think about what God wants to develop you to be. And the result is that we become strengthened or firm in our faith. Notice here in verse number seven. The Bible says, rooted and built up in him, and firm in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We'll look at that last phrase here in just a second. The result is being firm in our faith, and yet what the Apostle Paul is talking about is not personal faith necessarily, where I have great faith personally that God is or whatever, but rather the concept of the Christian faith. Remember, the Colossians, they were battling these strange teachings that were coming into their church. And so Paul encourages them that they would become firm, that they would become resolute in their faith, this idea of Christ in you. Richard Mellick, for example, writes, throughout this section, Paul did not mean the experience of faith or personal faith, or even though the Colossians' personal faith was strong, the attack was against the faith, the system of Christian truth and its ramifications in life. The church was commended for its growing strength in Christian truth. And as the Colossians held to the Christian faith, in the face of deception, they were also to do so with thanksgiving. And here's something interesting, because we might look at it as being kind of misplaced here. Okay, where is it in this whole process of Christian growth, where is it that this thanksgiving fits? I mean, it almost just kind of seems like, you know, thanksgiving. And yet this too is not... It's not random. It's not like, hey, just general thanksgiving. Like, I'm thankful for, you know, the all the blessings that God has given to me. Keeping it in context, it is a specific kind of thanksgiving. In context, this thanksgiving was to be based on what Jesus Christ had done in them and was doing through them. That's the context. That's what Paul's talking about. And so Paul is saying, listen, you have been rooted in Jesus Christ, and he's growing you. He has placed you in himself. You've received Jesus Christ as Lord. You came to him as the all-sufficient one. And he says, in order to continue growing, he says, do the same thing. Come to him as the all-sufficient one in worship, face to face, and he will continue to grow you. And he says, you'll become firm in your faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Say, man, Pastor Mike, where's Paul going with all of this? Here's the way that one writer wrote. He said, the deep roots of the faith evidence themselves in an attitude of gratitude for both the initial experience of salvation and the continued sustaining of life. In other words, the Colossians were to continue to reflect on Christ, on what he had done for them, continue to spend time gazing in the face of Jesus Christ, reflecting on what Christ had done in and through them. Can we just say it this way? An indicator of my worship is the presence or absence of thankfulness for what God has done and is doing in my life. Let's say it another way. A worshiping Christian is a thankful Christian. Do you know why? That person spends time with Jesus, seeing Jesus for who he is, and also regularly reflecting on what Jesus Christ has done for them. A Christian who spends time in worship will be a thankful Christian. Now, can I just be transparent with you? There are times that here on this earth, it seems as if there's very little to be thankful for. How many of us, as we look back at 2020, there were some plans that we had that got totally disrupted? And yet, do we still have reason to be thankful in a crazy year like 2020? What we're talking about here is not a general thankfulness. If we keep it in context, what the Apostle Paul is talking about here is thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done on my behalf. Did you know that God is the one, Jesus Christ himself is the one who saved you, who brought you salvation, who grows you? A person who spends time with Jesus Christ face to face regularly will be a thankful Christian. It's a test. Well, the past year or so, we've had the wonderful coronavirus tests. And there's been various things that we've struggled through, right? I mean, if you have gotten tested, there's been the issue of availability. If you can get the coronavirus test, there's been the issue of accuracy. I don't know if I should talk about this. Is it a strange thing to anyone that you could go and get in line to take the coronavirus test, decide that it's taking too long, you leave, not get tested, and then you get a notice that you had coronavirus? But I'm not even going to talk about that. There's the issue of timeliness with those results of that test. God says, you want an accurate test, an indicator as to whether or not you are spending time with worship, worshiping Jesus Christ day by day? Are you a thankful Christian? Are you thankful for what he has done and what he is doing on your behalf day by day by day? Thankfulness also promotes growth. James Dunn writes it this way: as rootedness and foundation depends on the faith called forth by the gospel, so growing from the root and building upon the foundation can be successful only in an atmosphere of thankfulness to God. Let's take it a step further. Alexander McLaren writes this: the life which is all influenced by thanksgiving will be pure, strong, happy in its continual counting of its gifts and in its thought of the giver, and not least happy and beautiful in its glad surrender of itself to him who has given himself for and to it. What he's saying here is, listen, someone who is thankful comes to Jesus Christ and says, God, I give myself completely to you. You have dealt so good with me. I'm just giving you my life to do with it whatever you desire. He continues, and the continual thanksgiving will ensure continuous growth in our Christian character and a constant increase in the strength and depth of our faith. Here's a passage that you might even be thinking about right now. Psalm 23. The Lord is my what? Shepherd, I shall not want. What was the psalmist saying? Life under the great shepherd is awesome. It is the best. It is greater than you can possibly imagine. I'm not over here looking for something else, for another shepherd. I'm not distracted. The Lord is my shepherd. I've got everything that I want. Someone who spends time with Jesus, regularly reflecting on Jesus Christ and who he is, what Jesus Christ has done on that person's behalf, that person will be a thankful Christian even when there's seemingly nothing else to give thanks for. You struggling with thankfulness this morning? Reflect on Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has done for you. If that doesn't stir your heart in thanksgiving, you and I, we came to Jesus with nothing. We said, God, I've got nothing to give to you. He gave us salvation. He gave us himself. He gave us all the riches that are in Jesus Christ. And just like we would simply take him, that receiving of Jesus Christ has opened up the floodgates of God's riches upon us. We had no hope, for this present life. We would just add to that eternal life. I tell you what, we have been blessed infinitely beyond what we deserve. You say, well, man, I wanted this thing over here and I didn't get it. You've got all of eternity to enjoy the riches of God. You say, well, I was praying that this would happen over here and yeah, it didn't turn out. Probably because God is wiser than you are. He probably looked down and said, yeah, he doesn't need it. It's not time. Whatever. He's given us himself for all of eternity and all of the riches that come with his own son. If you have an unthankful heart in the middle of all that, I don't know what to tell you. What is an indicator? What is the test? An accurate indication of someone who is worshiping Jesus Christ and spending time with him day by day. That person will be a thankful Christian even when life stinks. Because you know what? Sometimes life stinks. And I've known some people that have had great reason to be unthankful. At least when compared with the blessings that I've had over the years and good health and all that kind of stuff. Some people who go through the most horrendous of circumstances and have just some of the greatest health setbacks, and yet they are overflowing with thankfulness. Say, how is that possible? they know what they have in Jesus Christ. You want to be a thankful Christian? Can I encourage you? Spend time regularly at the feet of Jesus. See what you have in him. See what he's done for you. See what he is doing with you. The Christian life is not a do-it-yourself project. It is not a burden that I have to carry. I come to him. I gaze upon his face through his word. I find him everywhere in his word. And as I gaze upon him, he makes me into who I am to be. And he doesn't just stamp me like someone else, make a bunch of, you know, like a bunch of robots walking around for Jesus Christ. He makes me into the fullest person that he wants me to be. And my growth can continue no matter how long I'm here on this earth. I'll never lack an area where I'm just fully grown as a Christian. It's awesome. And it happens through worship. And an indicator as to whether or not I am a Christian who is growing in Jesus Christ is, it really comes down to whether or not I am thankful. Thankfulness encourages my growth because I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm going to stay under his leadership because he is good. But it also indicates whether or not I've spent time with him in the first place. By the way, this is not so you and I can go around as self-deputized fruit inspectors. I've got enough of a problem keeping track of Mike Rogers. But maybe if I'm lacking in this area, if I'm struggling in this area of thanksgiving, maybe God's working on my heart even now and saying, you know what? You have not been coming into my presence and spending time with me lately. You haven't been reflecting on what I have done for you, what I am doing for you, for the strength that I'm giving you, for the work that I'm doing in you. A worshiping Christian will be a thankful Christian. Someone who comes to Jesus on a regular basis, seeing what Christ has done for them, I am telling you, there is no other possible response but being thankful. God has blessed us in so many different ways. God might choose to take some of the blessings that we have and take them from us. What did Job say? The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I think that's the reason why he could say that is he speaks about seeing his Redeemer face to face. Christian thankfulness comes from satisfaction in what Christ has done and is doing in one's life. And distractions are less alluring with the worshiping Christian. Why? Because they're not looking for anything else. You say, Pastor Mike, why is it that Paul is writing to the Colossian church and he's building up Christ so much in the way that he is? I think Paul wants the Colossian church to know what they have in Jesus Christ. Because if they really know what they have in Jesus Christ, he doesn't even have to mention the Gnostic teachings directly. The Colossians themselves would come to the conclusion, anything else? The Lord is my shepherd. I'm under the care of the great shepherd. He has done so much for me eternally, and he is doing so much for me. I am so thankful for what he has done. Why would I need that over there? By the way, in Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says, he guides me in green pastures in the paths of righteousness. Can't remember the exact phrase here. He says he does it for his name's sake. Shepherds have a reputation. And it is known when you look at that flock how much the shepherd cares for that flock. How important do you think it is to Jesus that he would have a good reputation here on this earth? That you and I would say to our fellow human beings, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday. I sold something on Craigslist. Can I just vent here to you for just a second? No, maybe not. I used to really be into flying RC planes. I've just about sold off everything that I have. And it was kind of an emotional experience for me. But anyways, I won't get into it, because I was hoping I'd get back into it one day. And I was standing there, you know, this guy who was buying this stuff, and I was praying. I was like, what should I say to this man? You know, he's giving me cash for this stuff, and it's like the Lord didn't give me peace about saying anything, at least initially. And then as time went on and we were talking, and he asked me what I did for a living. I told him that I'm pastor and all that, and it really just opened up a door. In the end, what God gave me peace about saying, I got the gospel in there, the gospel in a nutshell. But because of the time that I had with him, what I said to him, I told him about how much Jesus Christ has changed my life. He had his own religion, and we were kind of talking things and comparing things out, and I told him how much of a difference Jesus Christ has made in my life personally. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice with me our third point. The presence or absence of thankfulness in my life accurately indicates whether I am growing in Christ or not. Paul says, come empty-handed. The passive voice, here's what he has done, here's what he's doing through you. You're rooted in him, that's something that he's done. You are built up in him, that's something that he's doing. You will become firm in your faith, that is something that he is doing. Wait a second, what do I got to do? Just like you came to him, continue to come to him. Empty-handed, sufficient Lord of all, God, I got nothing. I'm just coming to you. I'm spending time with you as the all-sufficient. You are the all-sufficient Lord, living Lord of the universe. Spending time in worship. The presence or absence of thankfulness in my life accurately indicates whether I'm growing in Christ or not. Thankful Christians are strong Christians. They are settled Christians. Turning from their faith, whether in trials or temptation, is not an option, is not alluring to them. Why? Because they are satisfied in Jesus Christ. Have you ever known that the more time that you spend with Jesus Christ, the less alluring everything else is? The greatest defense, Paul talked about this in the last passage. If you have maybe struggles in your life where temptations are just grabbing at you, and maybe you've fallen to some, and can I just encourage you? Temptations lose their luster when you spend time with Jesus. The more time you spend with Jesus, there's a trade-off here. Do I want to give up fellowship with Jesus? I mean, I'll never be cut off from Jesus, but if I want to lose fellowship from him, in order to enjoy this over here, yeah, you know what? I'd rather keep this fellowship thing going over here, because that might promise satisfaction, but temptations lose their luster when we walk with Jesus Christ. The whole point this morning, for continual growth as a Christian, continue worshiping Jesus Christ. That's really the idea. When you come to the Word of God day by day, do you meet with Jesus face to face? I'm telling you, you can find him everywhere, everywhere. You say, well, man, I just don't know the Bible like I should. Join the club. Step in line. Man, that's... Your spiritual growth as a person. Look, there might be someone over here that knows Old Testament stories more than you do. And yet you could be farther along in your walk with God, because to this person over here, it might be just textbook. Yeah, this Bible story. And yet when you come face to face with Jesus Christ in worship, finding him in his word every single day, I am telling you, all of this will take care of itself. You'll learn stories. You'll learn cool things. The main thing is spending time with Jesus. You say, Pastor Mike, what's the key to spiritual growth? Spend time with Jesus. You say, well, wait a second. Doesn't it come down to a list? Yeah, you'll learn the character of Christ in all kinds of different ways within his word, but spend time with Jesus. I'm just telling you. I wish I could tell you something that was like really cool that we get to do. Guess what? It's just coming to him just like we did at the beginning. Empty-handed. The living Lord of the universe. God, I've got nothing. But you invite me into your presence. And so I want to spend time with you. And the more that we gaze upon his face, guess what? We begin to look like him. His character begins to show itself in our lives. That's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Love, joy, peace. By the way, do you know that they had a study years ago, and they asked various questions. What is it? And they asked different groups, college-age kids, young adults, not so young adults. And they asked this question, what is it that you want out of life? This survey. And they pooled it all together, and guess what the results were? I can't remember which order it was in. I think the younger group was love. And I think it was the middle group that was joy. And then the older group that was peace. It kind of seems that everything that we really want out of life is found in Jesus Christ. But it's all found by spending time with him. Christianity is not a do-it-yourself project. Just like you came empty-handed for salvation, God, please give to me the eternal life that you promise. Just like you came empty-handed, come empty-handed just the same. As you come to him day by day, seeking him out through his word, speaking to him, communing with him in prayer. And he will continue this growth downward and upward, establishing you in the faith. And the result is, man, you will be thankful. God, thank you so much for all that you have done, for all that you are doing in and through me. A worshiping Christian is a thankful Christian. And God help us as we begin 2021 to be worshiping Christians, spending time with him. I hope that that's your heart this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you for the salvation that we have in you. It's hard to believe that we are here in 2021. But Lord, we desire that you would make us into the Christians that you desire, that you have saved us to be. Lord, we ask that you would use us for your glory in 2021. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning that has never partaken of the salvation that is available in you and in you alone, I pray that they would make the decision this morning. I pray that you would help us, for the rest of us who are growing in you, I pray that we would be satisfied with nothing less than continual worship, spending time with you day by day, face to face, as you make us into the person that you've saved us to be. Help us this morning. I pray that we would respond the way that you desire us to from your word. And I pray this in your name. Amen. With